Mr. Vic Holmes, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Holmes?
Yeah, 1926, and I was born in Hackney, London.
And can you tell us a bit about your family background in Hackney?
Yeah, we're, well, quite poor, as most people were. My mother didn't work. My dad worked as he was a cooper to begin with, but coopering had gone out, so therefore he was doing almost any job. As we lived in that part of the world, I was very young. We moved out from there to, I believe, Kilburn. That's the first time I can recall really anything. And I was trotting around, and we lived above a shop, about a third story above this shop, and I believe it was two rooms. We had nothing on the floor, just bare floorboards. And I remember that particularly because one day, running around with no shoes on, I trod on a nice sharp splinter, which really went into my foot. And in those days, you couldn't afford to go to doctors. So mother said, well, you'll have to wait till dad comes home from work and see what he can do. So there I am, sitting there with a splinter in my foot, waiting for dad to come home. And when he came home, he must have got it out because we, didn't have to go to the doctors. I say we had very little money because there was another time I can recall we ran out of gas because it was always a penny in a slot. And it was quite a dark day, and mother said, well, you'll have to wait till dad comes home again. I haven't got a penny for the gas. So there we are, me trying to peer out the window, waiting for dad to come home, and he came home, so we got our gas. We moved from there to another part of Kilburn, Glingall Road. Oh, that was Neverwood Street, by the way, if that's of any interest. We moved from there to Glingall Road, which was just off the High Street, right opposite B.B. Evans, next door to Technical College, I believe. And again, we lived right up on the top of the third floor. I would imagine that was the cheapest of the rooms to get. And in those days, on a Sunday, which I can remember well, windows were left open, you could hear the tinkling of the old Joanna from different houses, and remember the man with the horse and cart come around with the big blocks of ice on the back, where he cut lumps off or chop lumps off for people, and we as kids, when he wasn't looking, would run up and pinch a bit. And then there was, I always remember the ice cream man as well, he used to come round. He had a, I don't think he was the Walls ice cream, I think he was some private ice cream, but I remember that. I can remember some of the games we used to play. We would get an ordinary wooden hoop and with a lump of stick, run up and down the road with that, because there were hardly any cars around, very, very little traffic, so it was really safe. The other thing was tip cat, I think it was. We get a long, or fairly long piece of wood, I suppose about 8 or 10 inches, and another piece of wood. We put the smaller piece on the curb so that it leaned out across the gutter, really. And then we'd try and whack that with a stick, and as it flew up in the air, we'd whack that. I don't really know what you gained from that or how you gain points, but you just played it on your own in most cases. The other games, of course, were marbles, glarneys, as we called them, in the gutter, which wasn't very healthy, I suppose, but even so. And then there was the cigarette cards. Ask people that you could see smoking, please, sir, can I have your cigarette cards? And he'd very often hand them to you out of their pocket. I think they saved them up for the kids out of their cigarette packets. And there were all sorts of games for those who used to have. Lean them up against the gutter and flick the other ones at it and try and knock them over. Again, I can't remember how you gain points or anything like that. And what else was there? The fire stones, I think that came later on in my life. But that was just five ordinary square stones, and you threw them up in the air and caught as many as you can on your hand while you're trying to pick up the others. But those are things you can't really remember. But
about your education? What was your first school like?
The first school was down at Netherwood Street. But I can't remember much about that one. I liked it. Whatever we did, I can't remember, but we liked it. And from there, I must have gone to another school for a short while, and I can't remember that one at all. Because I had a brother who's 4 years older than me, and he used to go to the school around the corner by Grange Park, which is just alongside Netherwood Street. But we never used to spend a lot of time together. We weren't brotherly brothers. We were friendly, but that was about it. And
was there any subject you particularly liked at school, or were good at? Or
well, not until I got a lot older, and this is when we moved out of Kilburn to Kingsbury, Middlesex. And I can only remember a lot, and that was at Kingsbury Senior School, which is in Collindale, strangely enough. The only thing I really liked was metalwork. We had a nice big metal building at the back where you had a choice of either metalwork or carpentry. And although my dad was a carpenter and cooper and carpenter, I wasn't very keen on carpentry, so I didn't follow him from that point of view. Things like geography I was quite interested in. Mathematics I was very bad at, I'm afraid. Spelling I was quite good at. And I suppose, coming from that, also English. I suppose that really has come out in the end when I'm writing the book.
What about sport? Were you much interested in sport?
I'm not really a sportsman. I played football, as all the kids did. I used to like wrestling. Most of the kids used to wrestle more than box or play those types of things. Cricket, I think I used to play cricket with my dad when we lived in Netherwood Street. Grange Park, which was just down the other side of Netherwood Street. I can remember my dad with a tennis ball, and I don't know whether it was just a lump of wood rather than a cricket bat, and we'd go down there and we'd play games there. Later in life, I was more interested in sailing and rowing, and later on again, interest in horse riding. But as a younger person, I was not a sportsman at all, and I've never followed it from there on either.
Did you have much of an interest in the Navy or history?
Well, when it came to when we moved out, I'll start from here rather straight on though, because it does lead up to that point. Well, when we moved out of Kilburn about 1936 to Kingsbury in Middlesex, at the senior school, I was there when the war broke out, which was September 1939, and I was just then 13 and three quarters, really, I suppose, to make it sound better. And we must have been on the summer holidays when the war broke out.
Do you actually remember it, the day?
Yep.
What do you remember?
Well, I remember On the Sunday, I'm not sure whether, I think that was the day the war broke
It was,
out.
yeah.
I remember on the Sunday, after the, after that, I went for a walk down the road, cause I like walking, always have done. I walked down the road towards the school where I would have been and realised that I wasn't going to go back there anymore because the school was right back, right next to the telephone, Phoenix Telephone Works, which would after that be making stuff for the armed forces. So they closed the school completely. And I remember walking along the road there towards the school, just looking at it, and the air raid warning went off. And I think that's well noted, And I was just at the age then, getting on for 14, when you started thinking about different things. And I looked around, I thought, my goodness, what's going to happen? You know, are we going to suddenly get machine gun, bombed, or anything else? And I wasn't worried, for, strangely. But I was apprehensive. I just thought, well, what are we going to do now, sort of thing? And then I just walked back home, and everything, of course, was quiet then, because we had a phony war for a certain period of time when not a lot happened.
So you didn't go back to school?
Didn't go back to school at all. The school was closed, so I left without anything in the world. Well, people in our year left without any examination papers, except what we might have had as a interim one, just before we went on holiday. But none of us were sent any information, no end of school. And of course, we hadn't finished school, really, but we were the lost people in between. It wasn't worth sending us anywhere else, and I'm not sure whether they had any other place to send us. So we just did nothing until we couldn't go to work because we were under 14. But that is a period I can't remember very much about that type of thing. I did start work shortly after that.
What was your first job?
My first job was at Everett and Edgecombe's. That's a local firm of instrument makers, a very well-known one.
What type of instruments?
Pardon?
What type of instruments?
Sorry?
What type of instruments?
Nearly all electrical instruments, ampermeters, voltmeters, this type of thing. My brother was already working there because he was very interested electrically. That's one of the reasons we didn't spend much time together. All his time was in the shed playing about with electrics.
And what was your job at the factory?
It was just a tea boy, just running messages and sending to the stores for different things, sort of thing, as go to the stores for a long wait, and I didn't get caught on that one, but quite a few did. And it was there where I met a chap who was doing ARP work, and I'm not sure how long it was after we worked there, but they had a terrible business at West Hendon where a bomb dropped and there was quite a few people killed, and I'm trying to look into it sometime because they never found the cause of it. It was supposed that it might have been an aircraft returning with bombs on and had crashed. Now, at the time this happened, it was either on a Sunday or a Saturday. I wasn't at work. I was playing with some of the boys in our street. I lived in Rowend. And we were playing about there, and I heard a noise up in the sky, a long, long way away. A noise like a little bang, bang. And when I looked across, I could see two lights. I think it was a red and a blue, or a green and a blue. And I suppose thinking about it afterwards, it could have been very nice. But after that, there was a bit of a silence, and then there was a noise almost like a whining of a bomb coming down. And anyway, we got together in the corner, you know, we were all together, and there was this almighty explosion in the distance, almighty explosion. And was at West End, and I'm not sure whether I ever found out what it was, but I'm still hoping I might find out something. So,
do you know when that was, the date?
Not really. It must have been either 41, somewhere just the other side of 41. But it must be well noted, because there were a great number of casualties.
Now, did you get a job? Did you work in ARP or anything like that, or volunteer as a fireman?
Yes.
What did you do?
Well, I was a member of the supplementary fire parties for the area, and I must have joined. I've still got a little card that entitles me to go in, you know, the houses if necessary.
And what was the, were the supplementary fire, they were for the fire service?
Well, it is not a well-known thing, because although you were taught how to fight incendiary bombs, you used to go to lessons to fight incendiary bombs, your main reason really in our part of the world, where there wasn't all that much action really from, we had quite a bit of bombing at Kingsbury. But being that you were younger, it would be during the day when you were called upon. My main job was running messages between the headquarters to ARP wardens and different things.
And the headquarters of the Auxiliary Fire Service, was this part of the AFS, or was it part of the big...
Well, the supplementary fire parties, in my particular instance, was not a lot to do with the AFS or the auxiliary at all. It was to do more with the ARP. It seems really that you were given a role purely so that you could do a different job. Although, if you had, if you were required to fight fires, you would have been called upon. But it was never the case. So all I did.
So you were a messenger boy.
I was a messenger, more or less.
On your bike or
no,
or
just walking about. In fact, I can tell you a good instance of something.
Yeah.
Well, one day, it was a nice bright day, must have been the summertime. Again, I can't tell you exactly what year it was, but I'd received the message to go to the post and pick up another message to take to an ARP warden. Now, because there's nothing wrong, I didn't put on my tin hat or anything like that. You were given a tin hat and you were given an axe. So I didn't bother about this tin hat. No, nice and quiet, nothing was happening. So I went and collected this message and walked up from the RP post along my road, along Row Lane, which is where. And I come across several of my friends. They were, as kids, well, about 16, pushing each other over the fence of this garden and mucking about in general. And of course I thought, hello, I'm going to get dragged into this, I'll have to be careful. So I sauntered along on the other side of the road, hoping they wouldn't notice me. Hi Vic, they said, come on. I said, no, I've got a message to deliver, come on. You know, of course, and I knew straight away then that I wasn't going to get away with it. So anyway, they grabbed hold of me and I don't got to, never mind about that, they says. So anyway, pushing me through the hedge and pushing each other about, and I start shoving them about. And then the air raid warning started. So I said, come on. And of course, by then it had been a little while into the war. They were just blasé about it. Oh, never mind, nothing will happen here, you know, that's just a warning. Anyway, still pushing each other about. And then we could hear the drone of the aircraft, and you got used to the noise of Dorniers and, you know, different German aircraft, the fact it wasn't ours. And as they got nearer, so the guns started up, because we used to have attack guns in Bacon Lane, not very far away. They started up, and so of course they decided, all right, we'll go now. The action started. So I start running on then, about 500 yards, I think it was, to this house where the warden was. I was told at the beginning, he must read this message and he must give you an answer, written and verbally. That's fair enough. So I go and knocked on the door, bang, bang, bang. This noise from up there, and everything is getting nearer and nearer, and I am getting a bit worried now. And no answer, of course. So I knocked again, bang, louder. And I thought, well, whether he's in bed or whether he's not there, I'm not staying. Against all the odds, I shoved the note through the door, run off. Just as I got inside the door of my house, there was an almighty explosion. Bombs were dropping, not near where I was there, but not too far away. So my mother, I think, she said, thank goodness you come home. With this lot started. Just had a job to do. So next morning, you always go round to see where the action had been. And I'm walking around, I can't see anything particularly near. And so, must have been further away. I'm walking up to Baker Lane, and I walk past this house where I delivered this message. It's gone. There's an hole in the ground with all the rubble there. And when it was cleared, a matter of, some months later, where I'd been knocking on that door, there's a great big dent in the doorstep. So I said, my little angel did me well that day. So, I was trying to find the people who lived there, because a new house has been built there since. It was right on the corner of Bacon Lane to Row Lane. I think number one, but anyway.
What about the air raids? What were they like generally?
As far as we were concerned, we didn't get it too badly. Very often you could look across at London and it was bad. You could see a lot of colour. You could even see sometimes an aircraft caught in the lights of the search, the searchlights. And although it wasn't too bad, where we lived at Kingsbury, Frigidaire's, that's General Motors, was quite near. And they, of course, were making all big lorries and vans, American-type vans. And we did have a particularly bad night that I can remember at one time.
What was it like, that particular night?
Pardon?
What was that particular night like then?
Well, I'd gone to bed, and we heard this... We heard the sirens go. We heard the aircraft come over, and we could hear another aircraft, which must have been one of our night fighters, machine gunning, trying to do something about them. But anyway, I was still only 15 and 16, so although we had a Morrison shelter, that's the table type, in one of our rooms, we only had two bedrooms, I'd run in and got under my mother's bed, and not really would have helped much, but I wasn't that brave. I was 15, but I wasn't that brave. And you could hear first one bomb a long way away, or seemed a long way away, but as you're lying there, you could hear another one, and another one, and then of course you're just waiting for the next one, and that went the other side of the house. And next morning, the bomb that was the first side of the house landed in the garden just at the top of Row End, just up the road. That's about 10 houses away, not that near. But that woman, when she opened the back door the next morning, nearly fell down the crater. And it hadn't blown a piece of glass out of her house or anything. But the other one, which I heard hit the other side, we lived in flats. We lived in the bottom flat, and the garden, our garden was just behind us. Flat going into upstairs was just beyond that. and it had landed in that garden, great big crater there. So luckily we were in between the two. And that was one of the nights when they'd tried to bomb Frigidaire's. Now, they'd missed Frigidaire's, but they'd hit Carlisle Road. Now, Carlisle Road is another road that just goes the other side of Frigidaire's. Now, they really blitzed that. That was a lot of factories, and probably they were doing work. There was a chemical factory, a resistor factory, another one doing carts for vehicles, I think. Now, they almost flattened the whole of Carlisle Road and the road that went beyond that. There is, I believe, either one or two lookouts, fire watchers, on the top of K's on the factories. They got killed. That was really one of the worst nights. There was another night that I can recall that was fairly near us, and I remember that bomb dropping. That dropped in the green just atop of our road, and that was earlier in the evening. It must have been about 7 or 8 o'clock, because I could do first aid at that time. So the first thing I did, being in the supplementary fire parties, I put my first aid kit around me, went around there to see if I could give any help. But the heavy rescue were already there, and they looked at me and said, "No, don't you? We've done it all type of thing."
How much first aid training had you had?
Not a lot, because the training I was given was in the scouts and not in the supplementary fire parties. But I learned how to apply tourniquets, splints, and in those days you learned the Schaefer method of resuscitation. Not, you know, it's one which did more harm than good, probably. And
what was that?
Well, the person laid on the floor, and you did something like the pressure on the chest, like they do nowadays, but without moving the tongue and everything like that. All you did was an artificial respiration of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, and this type of thing. And the tourniquets, of course, you don't have those nowadays, because they're not a good thing. So I suppose it would have been of some use if I was required, but not a lot.
Now, what about air raid shelters? You said you just had the Morrison. Could you describe the Morrison? Because people don't know about the Morrison.
Yeah, a Morrison, if you consider an ordinary large square table, a large square wooden table, but instead of being wood, the top is a steel plate. You've got four steel uprights at the corners, and on each side you've got wire mesh, really strong wire mesh. So you went in one end, pulled the wire mesh back, I suppose, on you, and you slept in there. They were quite good, they were really strong, but of course they took up an area which was the size of a bed, which if you had a bed in a room, you'd have to get rid of the bed.
How often would you go into it? I mean, would you just go in when there was a raid?
Never went into it.
Why not? Why did you prefer going under the bed?
Well, for one thing, it was in another room, and it was only the one occasion where I ever felt I had to go and take shelter anyway. Also, at the times when this was happening, you know, when the raids were on, I was working at the same firm as my father, and I was very often doing fire watch duties, although I was still only 15, 16.